It's a magnificent time to be alive, not because it's a beautiful, cracking autumn's day here in Melbourne, not because we've got a great week of footy, not because we have got the start of the famed show, The Kick, in the house. I have just seen that Chicken McPieces are back at McDonald's. And I can tell you, if you are driving in your car right now, you're on the train, wherever you are, stop at your nearest McDonald's and get some Chicken McPieces.
What's so good about them?
They're just... KFC have...
How much chicken's similar. Actually in them?
Quite a lot, and they're quite tender, but the coating is not too crispy, but then it's not soggy. And it's
your life revolves around food, doesn't it?
It does. I love my food.
I wouldn't call you a foodie, though.
No.
It's a junk food.
No, sort of. It's not just junk food, but I'm a man of simple pleasures, and I'll actually get to something a bit later in the show, but I do like my food, but I don't like an array of food. I find food I like, and then I just
eat
stick a lot
to
of
it.
Normally it's
to
chips
it.
Or pizza or burgers.
Hey... How about the footy on the weekend, gentlemen? Big weekend we just had. Big weekend coming up. Now, the two big story points are the D's and the Dogs. Are they the real deal?
Well, we're going to find out about Melbourne, aren't we, Brownie, this weekend. I think, if just looking at their form, exposed form, I think the Dogs are a little bit more the real deal at this stage. But if Melbourne beat Richmond this weekend, you're going to have to stand up and take notice. But I'll just go, they've beaten Freo, who were ninth. They beat them in round one. Freo were just going.
Yep.
They beat St Kilda round two, who were 13th. The Giants, round three, who were 12th. The Giants have got going a bit now, but they were ordinary at the time. They beat the Cats last week.
Just.
Who were 8th, and the Cats are just going. And they beat Hawthorn, who was 17th. So you can only beat who's in front of you. But I'm not sure they're in that top echelon yet. But if they beat Richmond this weekend, yes, they are.
I tend to agree. I like the way Melbourne's going. I like the way they're speaking. Every time I hear one of their players talk, it's about team over individual, and culture. I've never heard that out of Melbourne. The culture, I think the culture's definitely changed. It's a massive challenge this week. You saw what St Kilda dished up last week against Richmond, an 85-point margin, and it went pretty quick. St Kilda in that game halfway through the second quarter, and Richmond just overpowered them. So if Melbourne play the way they did against Geelong or Hawthorn the last 2 weeks, they'll get beaten. But it's a huge opportunity for them, but I still make Richmond my best bet of the round because you're getting a good price for the Tigers this week because both sides are 5-0 and it's expected to be a great finish. But I just think Richmond win this game.
Yeah, I think Melbourne are doing a lot of things right, but you just got to see it against a proven team who have been up there for 4 years. So looking forward to it. And the Doggies, I mean, they've beaten Collingwood, the Eagles, North, the Lions and Suns. Only the Eagles are currently in the eight and they're sixth. So... You can only beat who's in front of you, and they've been flogging teams, though.
Mm. But I like the way
they've been winning.
I like the way the Dogs are doing against the Lions. We know how well they run, but they laid 81 tackles against the Lions. And I know that day down in Ballarat, it didn't rain, but it was windy, so it helped them lay more tackles. But the defensive aspect of their game is outstanding, the Dogs, and that's why I've got them as probably the second best side in the comp right now.
Did you say Richmond are 5-0 before?
Yeah, they got that wrong.
3-2.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I think you meant the Dogs are 5-0.
I meant the Dogs. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for backing me up. You know what I meant.
I was at the Melbourne game, the Hawks Melbourne game on Sunday. Now, they were not that impressive. And you know, if Tim O'Brien wasn't a bit of a spud and he holds a simple chess mark in the goal square, he gets the scores level in the last quarter.
You can't who knows say that. He's,
mate, he was backing
he's
back
a good
with
player.
A fight under a
Tim,
high ball.
Excuse me. Tim O'Brien is not a good player. I'm not going to be too scathing.
Don't get into it.
I'm not bagging. I'm just saying that I'm surprised that he's had an 8-year career.
He should have taken that mark. I agree.
And
he should have gone back and it would have been an even ball game. But he's still backing back into a pack. I mean, he won the game for you in round one against Essendon. He kicked the goal across his body.
Oh, you can't bag Tim O'Brien, though, Hummer. I saw you at that game. You're a Hawthorn man, right?
Yep.
Why were you wearing a Melbourne polo then?
Have
a look at you.
This is the biggest stitch up. We've got a picture of it here.
Why has he got a Melbourne polo on?
This is in the Legends Bar. Now, I'm about to explain the biggest stitch up in the history of fans attending the MCG. I went to normally I go in the MCC and you need a collar.
A collar.
I had some medallion tickets that were on the other side of the ground, which you don't need a collar. And I was going to use the opportunity. I'm a T-shirt guy, so I don't like wearing a collar. I go to the Legends Bar and I'm just in a T-shirt and a nice jacket.
With the chili oil.
No, I didn't have a chili oil T-shirt. I had a nice black Tommy Hilfiger T-shirt. My friend's already in the bar. I go in there and he says, sorry, mate, you need a collar. And I said, hang on. I've been in this Legends Bar a lot. I don't need a collar. He goes, I'm sorry, you do. And this is early at the game. There wasn't many people in there. I couldn't see anyone at the time without a collar. I go, okay, well, we're planning on sitting in the bar the whole game. I need to go and sort this out. So I go down to the merch, those merch trucks. I go to the first one. they don't have any Hawthorn polos. I go to the second one. I go, they've got Hawthorn polos, but only in a medium. Now, I'm not fitting into a medium at the moment. I'm not at playing weight at the moment. So I go to the third one outside the MCG. They don't have any Hawthorn ones. They do have Melbourne in XL.
Why don't you go around to the MCC and just buy an MCC polo?
I don't want to look like that. I prefer to be in a Melbourne pie. So I'm stuck wearing a Melbourne pie. I thought, this is okay. You know, I've paid $90 for this polo that I'm never going to wear again. It's all right. I've got a nice day here with my mates. Go back in there. As I'm walking up the stairs, I see a guy walk through without a T-shirt on. I was like, oh, how did he get on? He had a scarf. I then go, yep, got a polo in. I go. Then I see a few more with T-shirts coming in. I'm like, what is going on? So I go out to the security guard that stopped me and he goes, mate, I've got to apologise. I'm used to working the MCC. You don't actually need a collar in this to get into this bar.
So there I am.
Should he have gone back and...
You could have given it back.
Take it back.
Yeah, but I got a bit sweaty and because I had to walk around
bite
the ground
off,
and then
Paddy will bite.
Yeah, I'm not. Look, it's they're good polos.
Sell it to Paddy for $50.
It's a $40. I might do that. That was the biggest stitch up, and I'm $90 less in the wallet now. Dusty Martin, we speak of the Richmond Tigers. I was astounded when I heard they were doing an interview with him post match, saying you got your 250th next week, and you go, was that? Is that incredible that this age has already played 250?
Yeah, I looked it up last night because I thought, gee, he has got there quickly, hasn't he? So over his career, and he debuted in round one in 2010, drafted at the end of 2009, hasn't never played a twos game, obviously. So he's only missed 8 games since his debut, 7 through injury and 1 through suspension. Now, is that the quickest of all time? It's not. Players have got there quicker because they may have played in finals every single year of their career. So obviously you get 3 or 4 extra games a year.
So who's got there quicker?
I don't know.
I thought you said
someone
research.
Has.
Yeah.
No, well, I
researched
Heritage now. I've got the text just come through now.
Oh.
Literally as you said that. Who's got there quicker?
Now this
He's in 11th spot, okay?
11th spot?
So Wayne Schimmelbusch got there quicker. Adam Goods got there quicker, playing finals every year at the Swans. Joel Selwood, Ben Hart never missed, and they played finals every year. Your old teammate, the smiling assassin, Brad Johnson.
Jono.
Craig Bradley, Andrew McLeod, Adam Uzo, Mark Rusciuto, Scott Pendlebury, and Dustin Martin. So I think it's just the fact
it's a good list, isn't it?
It's a good list. But those other guys probably played more finals early in their career.
There you go. So that's from Swampy. Now, this
How
is no
is
joke.
Swamp?
Richo sent him
thought,
that
though?
Text.
How long
he's
ago did I send
three
premierships? That's what I understand. And he's only missed 8 games. He's played in 3 premierships. How have they got
but
there
he's
quicker?
Played finals other years.
But his first 3 final series, they only played elimination finals and lost.
Yep.
And his first 4 years, they didn't play finals at all.
But how many
so his
Brett
first
Johnson
7
play?
Years, they
so
played
he would
three
have played
finals.
At least 14 or 15 finals.
Yeah, but guys like Schimmelbusch and those guys.
What's the definition of – what are we saying?
The Bulldogs actually played
– they did.
The
they kept
played
out
finals
and
lost, yeah.
Interesting. There you go.
They're all superstars, though, aren't they?
Fascinating stuff.
Hey, I've got a confession to make. Because, last week I said we're going around the grounds for the Ace of Gemstone, which is where I look at some local footy floggings.
I like a guy this. This is a good new segment.
A guy from Triple M I was having a beer with on my friend Charlie. He said to me, he goes, I was listening to the podcast. He goes, but what's around the grounds of the Ace of Gemstone? He's been at Triple M for the last sort of 8 years. He said TAC have sponsored the Around the Grounds for the last 25 years.
Right.
And that the Ace of Gemstone never existed in Triple M vernacular.
So where'd you get it from?
I don't know.
It was definitely
John,
someone.
John, our producer remembers it. Was
I did say Around the Grounds for the
TAC. It might have been 3AW.
Maybe 3AW, but so TAC. So we are going to change it officially to Around the Grounds for the TAC.
Right.
So this week... We're going to build up.
We used to be sponsored by the TAC till poor old Schultzy decided to.
Royce Vardy.
Decided to drive.
All right, our first one that we're going to is in North Sunshine versus Auburn Vale. All right, so that'd be a rough
what league's that?
Rough league out there. That will be the Western Region Football League.
Yeah.
That'd be just be rough. Imagine the crowd out.
So what do you got?
3 goals to 5-23 to 31 goals 14-200.
That's not too bad.
Well, it's getting up there. Then we've got over in South Australia, Pimpino beat Eden Hope Aspley 168-0. But that's in the seniors. So the reserves you can sort of understand. Yeah. The seniors you shouldn't be having a scoreless game. One a bit closer to home, two sides that I played against in my storied history, Elsternwick. 39-25, 259.
That's good.
Beat Box Hill North 117 in the seniors. But here is our winner.
This is incredible, mate.
Now, this
have
is
a look
incredible.
At this.
This got sent to you on Twitter. This is down in Tassie.
29 in the last quarter.
The yes. Old Scholars Football Association. Richmond kicked 106, which they only kicked in the last quarter. Yeah. OHA, whoever, OHAL. 56 goals, 21, 357, including 29 goals, 10 in the last quarter.
They've kicked 29 goals in the last quarter. 29 goals, 10. So 39 scoring shots. Richmond have actually kicked the goal in the last quarter, and they've named six players as the best for the opposition team. They've kicked one goal, six, but they've got six players in the best. And that means a third of their team's done their job.
Did you see who kicked 20 goals?
P. Hudson.
P. Hudson.
Could it be?
Could it be? Did he go down and play a game?
Which one, Peter or Paul?
Well, couldn't be Peter. He's 75. But what about that 40 goals after half time? That's incredible.
That is incredible. Imagine being the fullback that's been playing on Old Hutto and you had 20 kicked on you. Geez, you'd just be you'd be sobbing in the shower that night.
It's probably not a bad job. They kick 56.
Could it be Hutto?
Well, he is still playing, Paul Hudson, but he wouldn't.
Is he really?
He couldn't be fit enough to kick 20, could he?
Well, in a side that's kicked 56, perhaps he might be.
He was a skillful player as you get, Paul Hudson.
Mate,
I remember
very good
playing with him at the Dogs, and we'd have goal-kicking practice from the boundary line, and he was one of those rare players that could shape the ball with a drop punt and kick it at a certain angle so it would bend back. So you didn't have to do the banana. So he'd kick a drop punt, and he'd at a certain angle, and then you go to the other side and just slightly tilt it the other way so he'd kick it and then float back in without a banana.
He had a pretty good teacher, though, in his dad.
Yeah.
Paul.
But before the game, right, to get his hands ready before a game, he used to, you know how you kick floaters? So you, like, kick it flat and then go like that?
Yeah.
He used to love doing that. He reckons it got your hands ready, got your mind ready.
What, he'd get someone to kick floaters?
The flat punts.
Yeah,
flat
and punts. The finger breakers.
Oh, what a noise it makes when it hits the top of the finger. It just makes that popping noise.
Have you ever seen footage of his dad playing, Peter? Peter did the flat punts. So he'd kick him. Because he only ever had shots from 25, 30 metres out. You know, John Kennedy got everyone else up the ground.
Yeah.
And they used to go like that and wobble through.
Yeah.
So he came down to Richmond at one point and took me for goal kicking.
And he wanted to teach you
And he wanted to get me to try and kick these flat punts. Didn't work out too well.
Hey, there's a man, I know a segment that has admittedly fizzled out a little bit, was trying to get Bruce McAvaney on this podcast.
Well, he's not going to do it.
Well, he works with him.
I exhausted my one option. I went through our partner at Seven. He just didn't reply to me. We will try and get that. But there's another man that I'm desperate to get on this podcast. It's a man called Rhett Bartlett. Kevin Bartlett's son. Now, if you don't follow him on Twitter,
so can I just give you he's the official historian of the Richmond Football Club.
And he has got a trove of content that just is incredible. Every single day he's just coming up. And it's not just boring match highlights and stuff. He's got all the old the footy shows. He's just, it's magnificent.
A lot of it's about our man.
It is. He has got you in his sights at the moment. Now,
I don't think it's in his sights. I think he just genuinely loves putting stuff out there about Richard, and we love it as well.
There's a new video that just came out last night that we haven't got time to get it in this week's show.
It's getting worse by the day.
Let's have a look at what he put up last week. Now, if you're on listening, fly over to our social media channels. You'll get to see a picture of this. But, Richo, we need you to talk us through what is going on here.
I reckon you actually look all right. I reckon look at that now, go, actually, I'm looking all right. I could have been a rock star. That's what you're thinking.
I'll look in the mirror now with those downlights.
You're wearing a U2 leather vest, leather pants. You've got this long hair, and you're holding a microphone and staring down. Now, this
that's
isn't like one
your
of those
left
silly.
Eye. Is that like Photoshop? No,
it's gone white.
That's my sexy look.
What? Richard,
you know what it was?
What was
that
for?
I explain? So it was when cable TV first came into Australia, Foxtel.
Yeah.
So that would have been 1995, I reckon. And they got they got a heap of the footballers. Danny Southern was one of them. And we were all promoting a different channel. So Danny Southern was promoting the wildlife channel. He had a big snake around his neck. Mm. And I was obviously promoting the music channel.
Oh, my God.
Oh. That's a bit of Bono Atung Baby or Zaropa style.
Jeez, it made you.
What did you think? Did you think in the moment, are you going, geez, I'm looking all right?
I must admit.
Or did you think, I don't know about this?
No, I must admit, when the leather pants came on, I was a bit concerned.
Are they hard to get off, leather pants? I wouldn't even. How easy to put on and off?
I did cop a fair bit of.
Who was your coach in 95? Johnny Northey?
Johnny Northey, yeah.
He let you do that sort of stuff?
He didn't really know about it until it came out.
Hey, Brownie.
That's horrible.
It's safe to say you're probably not known for your work ethic. Would that be a fair statement?
I don't think that's very fair.
Do you work
hard? He's got better over the years.
Do you work hard?
As in running and stuff like that, or
no, just you.
I called four games of footy on the weekend, huh? I also hosted Insider Trading with Jules on racing.com and Benny Clifton. I also do this show. I also do all the AFL previews.
You do a heap of work for this show, don't you? You put a lot into it.
Like my Thursday to Sunday, I can't sit down.
Well, can you explain a text message?
Sunday footy show?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you bring up the Sunday footy show because you do a quiz on the Sunday footy show.
Yeah.
Can you explain this text message? Now, just for those, again, we've got a text message on the screen. It's between Mark Howard and our man Nathan Brown discussing that because he couldn't be stuffed, making up another quiz, he just thought... And this is what he's written in the text. I'm out of ideas for Sunday footy show quiz, so I've compiled a best of our quiz Sunday afternoon to use Sunday morning.
So he's using his Sunday footy show stuff on Triple M now.
Yeah.
What, you can't be bothered?
It's not laziness. It's just content. It's just content and then creating content on the back
Brownie,
of it.
You know the other thing he did, Pump? So you're still doing your buy, hold and sell segment?
Yeah, I do, Matt.
This buy, hold and sell segment, Cameron Ling worked on 3RW football for 5 years.
Yep.
And he worked on a Sunday afternoon. And Cameron Ling for 3 years did a buy, hold and sell segment.
Oh, Brownie. Oh.
So did you rip Cameron Ling off?
Well, Brownie, I don't think you need to be explained the fact that I don't listen to 3RW. You do. So I've never listened.
Channel. It is the highest
I've
rating.
Never listened.
It's the highest rating station in the country, Nathan.
I'm not the target
off,
market.
You ripped off
I didn't
Cameron.
Know Lingy did it, but now that you say that...
You used to work for 3RW.
It was years
ago. Why are you ripping into them?
Hey, I'm not ripping into them, but I don't listen to them.
More people listen to Richo's show on 3RW than yours on Triple M.
Not on Sundays.
Yes, they do.
Highest rating channel in the country, 3RW.
Ratings will come out soon, too. There we go.
Brownie should be working a bit harder, though, hum?
Well, he should be working a bit harder.
He's lost another one of his investments.
This is just now. Of course, listeners to the show will be very familiar with the magnificent investment Nathan Brown made at a little place called Laguna Keys.
A little block of land.
A block of land for $228,000.
$228,000.
It's for sale for $32,000 if you want it.
But Brownie was hopeful that the price was going to increase, hum, because there was a prawn farm just down the road. It was about to go.
Going to create jobs.
Gangbusters.
A giant prawn farming company will sell off 6,000 hectares of surplus land northwest of Mackay as it presses to pause on growth. That's not good for a block of land. And on top of that, Sunday morning, I'm leaving the Sunday footy show, right? And I'm going to the MCG. I'm in an Uber going to the MCG. And at this point, I got sent that, right? So I'm reading, that's no good. But then as I look at my phone, crypto is just meltdown. There is just like the biggest
US
red
government.
Candle going bang like that. Yeah. It dropped 30% in the next 2.5 hours. I'm trying to call a game of football being the Melbourne Hawthorn game, and I'm just seeing these red lines come down and wiped out about 30% of what I had.
So can we just look, he bought the block at Laguna for $250,000.
$228,000.
So it was valued at what, about $20,000 a couple of years ago?
Yeah, about 30.
And that was with the prawn farm. What's your figure now with the prawn farm going?
I'm
going
to have some good capital losses that I can put off something else.
So the prawn farm from Laguna is gone.
That's
its last chance.
It's a setback.
It's a setback, definitely.
What's
the
next Laguna?
Wait until someone takes over that land and then and develop it. They're always talking about Chinese investors coming in. They're going to build the airport and they're going to put something. That's my last hope.
If you do want to live the great Australian dream and buy a house or you know buy some land, if you're just looking and perhaps you haven't got the cash.
Not much employment up there now, though.
It's been a bad week financially for me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Paul Laguna. Hey, I wanted to bring something up. Now, I know this probably comes from our summer edition of the very famous summer edition of our show where we chat about
little food segment.
Pizza. Okay, now I've always liked pizza, never loved it. It would never have been in my top 10 dishes. I would always get, if I'm ordering food.
This is a man who doesn't like lasagna either.
Yeah, so maybe I've never been a big Italian food man.
Yeah.
I went to Aldi, okay? Now, if you haven't shopped at Aldi,
Lasagna.
It's a bit weird.
Lasagna.
I went to Aldi. Now, Aldi's got a stigma attached to it. Almost. Do you remember the supermarket's NQR that used to float around? There used to be one on High Street, Ashburton.
I've never been into an Aldi.
I'm not surprised. But you should. They have got, and it's not that it's just cheaper stuff, it's just different. But
the German company.
The German company. Now, I went in there, again, at this stage, not being that too keen on pizzas. I went and had a frozen pizza from there. It was $3. Now, it was a thin crust.
Yeah.
And normally frozen pizzas, they've just got...
Horrible.
Horrible. They are horrible.
Just cheese this thing, and that's about it.
This thing was, honestly, one of the... I'd say one of
what
the...
What was on it?
Just pepperoni. A lovely thin base, beautiful mozzarella.
Yeah.
A lovely sort of tangy...
So they make these in Germany and send them over, or are they made here locally?
Oh, no, I'm not sure about that, but they're a German company. They just have different products
different
in there,
products
they?
That you don't get in your... Yeah. In your
they're like, remember Kmart would like rip off Nike runners and just have different... They sort of
the upside
a bit like
down
that, aren't they?
But this pizza has triggered something in me now, and to the point where I'm having two of them a day... Because it's economical as well. It's only cost me $3. I'm having two of these pizzas a day, and I'm absolutely hooked to the point where all I can think about every day is pizza.
Have you read the fat content on the side of them?
How well, no, gram? But do you know what I'm doing? I'm having two frozen pizzas a day, but then I'm
That's
having...
not good.
No, but I'm having a link with these.
Two frozen pizzas a day.
This sums hum
no,
up,
but
though,
I'm having
mate.
Two Listen frozen pizzas, but then I'm having a lean cuisine at night to cancel the two pizzas out.
It doesn't cancel it out, mate.
Well, it does.
It's not the way it works.
It's not how you do it, hum. Well, we've anyway. All got guilty little flu things, though, haven't we?
We do.
Okay, so you're eating lean cuisine at night, right?
Oh, yep.
So when are you inhaling these pizzas?
Well, because we've been working from home, I'll have one about 11, then I'll have one about 3.
What are you doing for breakfast?
Well, I'm having the pizza at 11.
No, he has his shot of whiskey for
breakfast. Yeah, the whiskey.
So you don't have breakfast?
I have a pizza at 11, a pizza at 3, and then a lean cuisine.
No, he's a weird man.
But
we've all got guilty pleasures.
Have you got a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, mine's the continental mac and cheese. That there, Nate...
Oh,
that is as simple a little snack as you can get from Continental macaroni cheese. Well, I initially was buying them for my daughter. You know, your kids.
Wait, so what is the pasta in that?
Yeah,
just the salt. Like,
no, the pasta's dry, and you mix the water in with the powder, and it takes about 5 minutes.
My kids love that too.
Really,
but that, mate, I put a bit of pepper and tomato sauce on that. That's my little snack.
Is it big enough?
Yeah, it's no, we can get different sizes.
It's hard to go past toast and Vegemite. Like, it is one of the great meals of all time.
Yeah, is that guilty?
That's not a guilty. Not Everyone guilty. Has that, though.
What have you got?
Yeah.
What, Vegemite on toast? It'd be the most common breakfast in the country.
Oh, haven't you got like a little snack that you have? Something?
What about red snakes? You like red snakes?
I do like red snakes, yeah. Yeah. But I like toast and Vegemite as well. So, sorry, my food etiquette's not up to your standard.
How much?
Macaroni and cheese.
Do we reckon the brownie read the run sheet?
No, he didn't. And if he had have read the run sheet, he would have come in with a little snack. But he didn't.
Hey, just before we get into doing your head in, Richo, a man, he's a friend of the show because we've been in here. You work with him. You both work with him. Matty Lloyd.
Yeah, Lordo. Now, we know we've been looking at the big calls, or I have. I don't like
You don't
calls.
Like them?
No, I just think we go overboard on big calls in footy. And I was watching Lordo the other night on Footy Classified. And you may not see this as a big call because he's made one about Max Gawn, who is a champion. I think he's been a 4 or 5-time All-Australian. He's the best ruckman in the game. He got 10 coaches' votes on the weekend. He ripped the game apart, right?
Yep.
He's playing very good footy, and he is a champion
so
of the game.
So what did Lordo say?
Lordo said on Footy Classified that Max Gawn would be the first player he would pick in a new start-up team, and that he is now officially the number one player in the competition, right?
Ooh. Now, and you don't agree with that?
I'm saying that's a big call at this stage. Because I think Max is a champion, but I think you got to do it in September.
Yep.
And until he does it in September, I'm not sure you can say he's the best player in the game.
So you're disagreeing with Matty Lloyd?
I am.
Who would you pick first?
Well, I still think Martin's the best player in the game because he does it in September.
I pick Darcy Moore.
I've got Max Gawn winning my Brownlow at the moment, but I'd pick Dustin Martin. You also think that Lloydie does some work to his hair, don't you?
Lordo dyes his hair. There's no
How do you know that?
Because I saw him over summer and he'd obviously let it go a little bit and it was about a centimetre of grey hair all over his head underneath.
And so you think he's just for men going on?
It's more than just for men. It's the full dye job.
Oh, so I've had a hairdresser.
I think that he would have someone come over to his house and do it.
Oh. This is outrageous. Like a little private sort of hairdresser moment.
Well, I don't think he'd want to get caught in the hairdresser.
Will you do yours when you go grey?
Well, I'm already going grey. I'm letting it go.
I don't think... If you're on television...
He's admitted that, Lordo.
I don't think publicly.
Oh, dear. There we go. Well, you might finally get picked up by the press.
I'm sorry if he hasn't
Matthew Richardson confirms Lordo dyes his hair. All right, Richo, what's doing your head in?
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
I'll tell you what.
In the old 3W box on tonight.
Lordo's going to be flat. I'm a bit concerned. I'll tell you what's doing my head in.
What's doing your head in, Matt?
We get the train in here, Nate, don't we?
We do.
To come and do this show.
And the Silver Citizens.
Last week.
Why do you get train in?
Parking's quite expensive.
Expensive parking.
No.
Yeah, it's still hard to find one.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Ran into each other outside my
car. I don't mind getting the train. I enjoy it. Anyway, I was getting the train home last week at about 10:30 from in
here.
You're
wearing a mask on the train at the moment?
I am. Yeah, you've got to. But this is what does my head in. This is something I think you'll agree with. This gentleman was sitting just across from me in the carriage. There were probably 10 people in the carriage, 10:30, heading out to Hurstbridge on the Hurstbridge line. This guy took a phone call. Now, fair enough. You've got to take phone calls. Mm. It was obviously a business call.
But you try and keep it.
But you try and be a bit discreet about it, right? Not this gentleman. Not only did he take the call, right, he put it on loudspeaker. And he's holding it in front of his mouth, right? Now, if you're going to have a business call like this gentleman.
A business call as well.
He started doing a deal on the phone.
Figures and everything.
Started talking facts and figures. And he's telling this other guy just to get the deal done. And he's mentioning big numbers, six-figure numbers. And he starts to get a bit aggressive towards this other guy, saying, mate, we need to shut this deal. We need to get it done today. And as he's sort of talking like this, he's sort of looking at other people in the carriage.
Oh, what a flog.
It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. Everyone else in the carriage started, raising their eyebrows. If you're going to take a call on the train, take it normally like this or put some headphones in. You don't take it on loudspeaker. Seriously.
It's a bit of a look at me moment, isn't it? Now, I've got a look at me moment that I don't mind. There's a guy at my kids' primary school, right? So I go down there and I pick up the kids and the gates are locked up until about 3:28 when a couple of students come out and they unlock the gates. But so all the mums gather around and there's only a few dads there. So there's probably three or four, but there's probably at least 30 mums standing waiting out the front. And there's this one dad, he's a bit older, he'd be about 50. But but he comes down... First of all, on his skateboard.
That's going to be me, you realise.
He goes on a skateboard. This is the first thing that he does. And I love it. And I wait for it.
It's not Dermot Burton.
I wait for it. And I think, where's my skateboard, man? I don't know his name because I'm not a big talker down there. I'm a bit more of a people watcher. But he comes down on his skateboard. And he rolls in. And he's got the...
Does he do a kickflip?
He's got... He normally wears black cargo pants and a black T-shirt. And he's got the Vans on as well, right? And he normally wears a bit of a trucker hat. And he comes down and he gets his skateboard. Board in there, and just out the front there, there's actually a playground outside the school. And what he does, he puts his skateboard up, he walks over to the monkey bars without a doubt, and he does it right in front of about 30 mums every day, and he pumps out 3 chin-ups. Right? And then he has a break, and he's looking at his watch, and I reckon he's 30 seconds, and then he can only do 3 in a row, and he does 3 again, and then he gets down, and he sort of makes this noise, and he's looking at his own arms, and I lost it the other day, and I said to Christina, because it was the first time we went down the other day together, I said, I need to show you something, because I could see him coming down his skateboard, and she lost it. She thought it was the funny, but thing is, right, I'm the only one watching him, because there's 30 mums there paying absolutely no attention to this poor bloke. And I'm sitting there in hysterics every day. And I love it that he does it every day.
If you're going to do chin-ups, you've got to do at least 10, don't you?
He only gets 3 out.
You're in quite an affluent area as well. It's a strange combination.
Yeah. He could be loaded.
You realise...
I bet he was a tech guy.
So you're saying he's 50.
He'd be about 50,
My daughter Zoe goes to prep...
Yeah.
I'll be 48. I'm going to be that old dude, aren't I? I'm not going to be riding the skateboard down.
Hey, I reckon for the first time in a long time, we've got a Nuffy jar that does not feature one of us.
That's good.
We changed name. It was not the Nuffy jar anymore.
What was it?
It said shit posture.
Ah.
It's always said that.
I think it's always been. Yeah. Sorry. You're paying attention. Hey, while none of us... featured this week, a show favourite that does feature quite often. In fact, he featured last week, Sam McClure.
Scoop. He's a good, our good Scoop. Mate, Scoop.
Now, just have a look. This is in here for two reasons, because old Footy on Nine, Nat Fyfe's done a lot of great things in his career, but his haircut is not one of them.
Well, that's a pretty...
He's got like a shaved, look, shaved side. And Sam McClure says who, I love it.
That's a pretty common
to which one of our very own Georgie Parker, she goes, I'm... So she's replying to Sam. I mean, I know it's not the first time you're wrong, Sammy, but come on.
Bit of a drive-by from Parker.
Well, I mind
do you
it.
Like that hair?
It's all right.
He's full on Twitter, Sam, isn't he? Like, he loves is. To put it out there.
Has he got back to Gary Neville about this new Super League? I reckon him and Gary. See Gary Neville give it to the Super League? Yes. Oh, that was great.
That, well, that now
if
is
you haven't
now
seen
defunct.
That.
That's yeah, all the is. English sides have walked away from it. Thank
but
God.
But go on and have a look at Gary Neville giving it to the Super League.
Hey, and another tweet that's sorry, it's probably a bit different than the normal mould of a of the Nuffy Jar tweets. Nick Trulson, who is the chief commercial officer at the Bulldogs, he's gone on his personal account and has pleaded with his followers that the Dogs are still without a Guernsey partner on the back.
They
and
should have one.
And they're looking for one now for the right
they're
brand.
They're flying. This is the best marketing
so
deal.
But he's gone on
what's
his
wrong
personal account. You can't go on your personal account. What,
yes, so, you can.
What, so you've got a
he's
sales
invested
team.
Invested in the Dogs,
you've
mate.
Got a sales team of a dozen
but they've
people.
They've probably got it on
think,
there. It's probably just an add-on. You know, when you guys, when we do stuff or you want Matthew to post something out yeah. about this show, he does it on his personal Twitter
I can't
account.
Believe the Dogs haven't got a sponsor. They're flying.
Yeah.
They'll have one within a month, I reckon.
What hope is he going to get that one of his Twitter followers
well, you never know.
A big company? Why don't we get one of our sponsors on there? Because we've found sponsors very easily.
Have they lost their Mercedes sponsorship?
Well, they must have. They must have. Back. Yeah.
Well, how easy do we find sponsors? Hugo Wines?
Yeah.
TaylorMade.
They never hang around for long, though, don't they?
We had that gardening business that time, but then he walked away when I refused to give you his address. All right, Richo, Brownie and Hummer Award next. It's the award that just has polarised the AFL community. Some like that we've moved from the Trump or Trumpet Award. Some don't like that we've moved from it. But Richo, Brownie and Hummer, the concept is simple. In the good votes, you give three Richos, two Brownies and only one Hummer. In the bad votes, you give three Hummers.
It should be just three, two
Brownies and one Richo.
Good and bad, really.
Well, no, we need to give it a bit of a spice. But, gentlemen, I digress. Your
best
nominations this week. I go, well, as we have for 4 years, we go the Richos first, right then on. The Hummers.
All right. My one vote in the best is Josh Dunkley. Now, he obviously wanted to move across to the Essendon Footy Club over the summer. The Dogs refused. They kept him. That would have been difficult to go back to the club, you know, to get when you wanted to leave. But he's obviously put his head down. And Luke Beveridge said in the summer he had to, you know, earn his spot in the team. Has he done that? He was brilliant on the weekend, Josh Dunkley. He got my one vote. I've given two to the best young player under 22 in the game, Oscar Allen. How good is he? His marking is unbelievable at the moment. So when Josh Kennedy retires, Oscar Allen just steps in. Two
who,
for him.
Who are you taking out of Oscar Allen and Max King?
At this stage, I think I'd take Oscar Allen. Yeah. Well, he's. I think he's done it a little bit more consistently.
They're going to be good, the Kings.
Yeah, I'm not saying
they're going to be good.
The Kings are going to be really, really good, but Oscar Allen's a little bit better at the moment. And three to Max Gawn, absolutely dominated on Sunday.
I gave one vote to a player who played in a losing side, but Cale Hooker going forward this year, only kicked one goal in the first game, but since then has kicked regular
good.
Bags of goals. Only kicked six goals on the weekend. Cale Hooker kicked four of them. It's not his A1 position, but he's doing it and he's doing it really well. Lachie Neale was back to his best. It was wet. It was like windy up there. He handled the ball one-handed like it was a dry day. 38 disposals, two goals for Lachie Neale.
I reckon he does so much work on being one touch below the ground, and to see it in the wet, that just showed up.
And three votes to the Brisbane AFLW. They've had three cracks at it, and they're finally the premiers, and it was brilliant.
The Hummers.
Okay, the Hummers. I've given one to St Kilda. They only had 11 inside 50s in the second half against Richmond. At one point, Richmond had 21 clearances.
Out of 22.
21-1. That is ridiculous. I don't think there would ever have been a differential like that. So that just tells me you're a bit non-competitive at stages. Two to the Gold Coast Suns, one goal to half-time. You know, they've had plenty of good draft picks, they've had plenty of time to get it right, and they're just struggling at the moment. And I gave three to Mark McClure, ex-Carlton player, big sellers. He'll clip me now, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Blues aren't flying, But they're not bottom of the ladder and losing by 20 goals every week. And he just gave them a bit of a clip on the weekend. I just don't know. Sometimes you don't need your past legends chipping away at your club.
I always see him down at the shops down at Blairgowrie. He's got such a loud voice. I was tucked into my bacon and he's just interrupting the whole cafe with his booming voice.
I gave one vote to Jake Carlisle from the Saints. He went in the ruck against Marlon Pickett, and Marlon Pickett was able to jump into him and go to the ground and still take the ball away two times in a row. I think Jake Carlisle needs to watch those two ruck contests back and just think that probably that's where we're at the moment.
I reckon he did that a bit in the waffle, Marlon Pickett. Go in and just grab it like that out of the ruck.
Well, Jake Carlisle needed to do better. Two votes to David Teague, the Carlton coach. Not for the way they played, or they played pretty ordinary, but his press conferences are starting to sound repetitive, and he defends the club and he's got excuses all the time. He's seen positives where nobody else is seeing positives. But I'm just hoping that David Teague, I want him to have a little bit more of a harder edge. Oh. I mean, you've got to be able to put people on notice, put the club on notice, put players on notice. I hope that he is doing that behind closed doors.
He would be.
But I still think that the supporters and everybody else around, they need something. They need to hear it. Even the media, they need to hear it. Otherwise, they're still going to continue to go after him. He needs a hard... Maybe he does have a hard edge behind the scenes. I don't know that part. But what I see is what he presents. So that's the only thing we can comment on. And three votes to St Kilda. They were terrible.
All right, let's have a look at round six action. Anzac Day weekend, a bit different this year because Anzac Day falls on a Sunday. Which means
public holiday.
Didn't we used to get, if public holiday fell on a weekend, we used to sort of get one in lieu.
Did we? I
think so.
I quite like that it's on the weekend. The big game on Saturday night.
We lose a day off, which is a bit upsetting. But look.
It's a good Saturday night. Anzac Day. Anzac Day has got more sort of in it than Anzac Day.
Not in terms
of the game, not the...
Plus, we've added 15 disposals to our market, so we haven't had the 15 disposal market up for quite a long time.
And punters were desperate for it. They pleaded, and we went, you
know.
Not
a lot of value, so you've got to search through the value, but I've had a look. Jason Castagna, three of the last four games, had 15 disposals or more. I think he's in career best form. He's $1.72 for 15. Oh. So that goes in your multis. Lachie Fogarty from the Blues, I think he gets 15 disposals. And James Warple, I don't think he's got a natural tag this week. He went to Petrarca last week. I think he gets the footy this week. That gets you to $2.92, those three players, to get 15
now,
disposals.
Now, 15 is not a lot either. I mean, so basically, I mean, punters will be going through there and seeing that we don't have... Of course, we're not going to put midfielders and stuff in there because they're going to do that on there. They're going to do that very easily.
So you got to.
It's looking for players that might be playing off a back flank or a back pocket that don't win a lot of the footy. But if you know your players, you know the game plans, and you know who they're coming up against, you can just a little bit of value to have there. But looking at, let's kick off with the big game, the D's versus the Tigers. Now, as we said, you're getting some incredible value on the Tigers. $1.71 brownie. The punters are piling into them. 75% of the cash. Melbourne, $2.15.
Yeah, I think Richmond. We discussed it off the top of the program. I just think they're going to be too good. And I think Richmond's defensive half of the ground. We've seen Melbourne being able to kick scores. Tom McDonald's been playing really well. I don't know whether Bailey Fritch comes back or how long he's out for. But
it's sort of these questionable at the moment.
I just don't see Melbourne being able to kick a big enough score with Grimes and the boys in the back end for Richmond being able to do the job.
Yeah, Broad's playing really well. Also, Bolter, Asprey. So it's a tight knit. You know the thing about their back six? They've been together 4 or 5 years now, so they're so well organised. Mm. I think Richmond will win. They've won their last five or six against Melbourne by 37 points or more. It's going to be a lot closer than that. I think it'll be under 20, but I think it could be a bit of rain around as well, which will hurt Melbourne's ball movement a little bit. It could depend too if May or Fritch come back, but I think Melbourne, but closer than it has been in recent years.
Then the famous Anzac Day clash. There is three games on Anzac Day. But Collingwood, Essendon at the G. The Pies $1.73, Essendon $2.12. Both sides. It's probably not going to be the best Anzac Day clash that we've had.
But it could be one of the best. I mean, it could be a great game. I think it's going to be close. The Bombers were really good pre the Brisbane game. They were pretty ordinary, but it is hard going up there with a young side. Yeah. They did go to Sydney the week before and played a really good game. But this is a 50-50. It's a toss of the coin. What are the odds?
I did have it up.
Well, the thing for Collingwood, you got to go out of the forward 50, how out of the back 50. You know, I think this can be close. I think Essendon can cause an upset.
$1.73 the Pies, Essendon $2.12. The last game we're going to have a look at, imagine flying all the way from Perth and then having to go down to Geelong. That is what the Eagles have in store for them this Saturday. $1.58 the Cats.
Eagles, I mean, they do it every second week, so travelling's not going to worry them.
You've got to go Geelong.
I know. I don't think the Cats are playing good enough.
No, neither do I.
You're getting $2.39.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Eagles' game plan of, you know, slicing through with their kicking skills on that narrow ground, it might hurt them a little bit, but I just think exposed form. I think
North Melbourne had been able to use the ball a bit better last week. I thought they had opportunities to score, and they didn't. They could have put pressure.
Danger back out as well, it looks like.
How's this for a little an outsider multi I found? Just three leagues. Adelaide to beat Hawthorn, Richmond to beat Melbourne, West Coast to beat Geelong. That's getting you $9.11. It's not a bad bet, that.
Adelaide to beat Hawthorn in Melbourne.
Down in Tassie.
Oh, it's a tough one for Adelaide to win, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah.
And Hawthorn, I mean, they're 17th.
I think they got exposed. Their form probably wasn't
Hawthorn
where we thought it was.
Hawthorn pretty competitive up until the 10-minute mark of the last
one. Melbourne are no good. We're about to finish up for this week, but before we do...
Hey, before you start your little hermetheticals here, which I know you put a lot of work into this week, I just want a little bet with our man Paddy. He's the maddest Melbourne supporter we know here at Sportsbet, isn't he?
He is.
Extremely passionate about the D's.
Yep.
So I just saw him out the front.
He drives a Range Rover.
He does.
Nah, he bought a BMW X1 now.
Is he?
He
never has RM Williams off his feet.
Nah.
Like, he's a real Melbourne man, isn't he? So I just bumped into
Ralph Lauren polos and shirts. Yeah.
He was the man that bet 10 people in the office, including Richo and myself, $100 that Melbourne would make the 8 last year.
So next Wednesday, when we do this podcast, we've had a little bet. If Richmond lose to Melbourne, I'll wear a Melbourne jumper on this pod.
Oh,
and
have you got one?
Paddy will have one for me. And vice versa, if Richmond win, he's got to wear it in the office all day on Wednesday, and he'll actually have to duck his head in here and sing a little bit of the Richmond theme song.
He hosts a Greyhound podcast, so he won't have to do that. They'll love that. Hey, okay, I've got three. Two are mine. One is Nath John's. We'll go
guarantee you whose is going to be the best one.
We'll go Nath John's first.
Yep.
If your bed sheets could be made of any deli meat, what would you pick them? What deli meat would you pick?
Gee. That's good.
Well, it's not that good. I think that question's a bit silly.
I just got some new sheets too. Gee, how good are new sheets?
It's just delicious.
I'm going ham, Virginia ham.
Well, the thing about ham is
it's a bit slimy though.
But it won't smell as much.
No, it only gets slimy if it's a few days old. I'd just freshen it up with some new ham every night.
I would go. So I'm happy to trade off the smell. But I'd have a really spicy salami and I'd just eat it all night.
Geez, imagine the next morning, room.
It would smell bad, but you've just dined on delicious hot salami.
I'd be worried about the sliminess.
What about mortadella?
I'm going to go prosciutto.
Yeah, a bit drier.
Yeah, what's a dry deli meat?
Well, prosciutto's a bit drier than ham, not as slimy.
Yeah, ham's a silly answer. Yeah.
No, it's not.
It is.
But I love ham.
In fact, it wasn't that
good. Would you eat it as you're sleeping? You would eat.
That'd be half the plan, wouldn't it?
I'm going hot salami. I don't care about the smell. All right. You can't ever eat meat again, right? And you can only eat veggies.
Right.
And other stuff, but you can never eat meat. Or you can eat meat, but you can never eat veggies again.
Yeah, I'd go meat.
You can only eat meat. You can eat other stuff, but I will give you potatoes. So it's either meat and potatoes only for the rest of your life or only veggies for the rest of your life.
Ollie, the producer, Mr. I Know Everything, just told me I would die within a year if I just ate meat.
Is that right? Well,
that is absolutely incorrect.
So that was Ollie's.
I reckon you would have some problem on the steam.
There's a case study here.
A player that we played with.
Case study, yeah.
Jake King.
Yep.
All he eats is steak and potatoes.
That's all he eats, and that is true.
All he eats.
Every meal.
Steak and potatoes.
He might have cereal at breakfast time and he might have a sandwich for lunch, but the only thing he eats for dinner is steak.
He's my God. Yeah.
And he's alive.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
I'm going the steak and potatoes.
Same. Yeah. The only issue would be, I reckon, without the fibre of the veggies, come steamer time, being a bit of
there's a way to get fibre in. You've got Metamucil.
You know what you have? You have a can of kombucha.
Does that go through?
Put prunes in your smoothies.
No, you're not allowed to eat vegetables, though. Prunes are veggies.
It's fruit.
No.
Yeah, I'm denied about including fruit.
All right.
Mm. But I think you probably do. And the last one.
That was actually better than Nat John's, by the way.
Yeah, I thought it was a good one. And this is another one of mine. If you could be the hero in any sporting event in the world, what would it be? So you're the man that's
you've done this a bit.
No, we haven't. Yeah.
But similar to another one.
Well,
Which sporting event would you go to? This is what would you be the hero in?
Like, I'd be happy to kick the goal after the siren in the grand final.
AFL granny. I think I would choose that as well. Having never played in a granny, I think winning the granny with a kick after the siren. I mean, there's nothing better.
What about
international?
A grand slam in a game 7 of a World Series?
No, not
that's
that
a bigger.
It.
Like kicking the goals, it's a home run just comes at a. It's a big surprise.
You know what? I'd like soccer better than American sport.
Oh.
So I'd kick the winner in a World Cup final in the fifth extra minute.
That would be.
Imagine the love you'd have in your
country. What about golf?
Yeah, we did the Masters a few weeks ago. Similar to that.
Yeah, we did like the whole one, whatnot. All right. Well, that's. Okay, that one wasn't the best hypothetical. We started all right. We tapered off.
You did it 2 weeks ago.
No, we did not. That was what sporting event would you like to go
very,
to?
Very similar.
This is very different.
Mate.
No, very we misinterpreted the question. Hey, thank you for joining us this week. We've got a big week ahead. If you are having a tickle on the punt, on the sport,
I believe Ollie, the producer, said if you eat steak and potatoes, you would die within a year.
No, that is you would not die. You would not die. Hey, all right, that's going to do us this week. The producer is screaming at us about meat for some reason. Good luck. Gamble responsibly.